Now, Elitsa is looking at the international press. The soaring heatwave is making headlines right across Europe, isn't it?
That's right, Stuart. And that's the front page here of British Daily Financial Times. It reports that countries across Europe, including Spain, Italy, Portugal, France, Greece, and the UK, are all experiencing unusually high temperatures in recent days. British Daily The Guardian here says that in the UK, the heat wave could result in the hottest ever start to Wimbledon. And the paper also reports that by Tuesday, temperatures in some parts of England are expected to reach up to 35 degrees. And the heat is not going to spare France. French daily Courrier Picard says that 84 French departments have been placed under orange heat wave alert. And let's take a look at this article by French left-wing Libération. The title reads Heat Wave Fire at Home. And journalists from Libération went to Aubervilliers. This is a suburb of north from Paris. And there they talked to residents who lived in concrete buildings that retain heat and do not have AC. So it's pretty difficult for them in that temperature. And some apartments can reach up to 40 degrees inside when it's only 30 degrees inside, Stuart.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Not very much air conditioning, has to be said, across most of Paris. What about further south end of it, sir?
Yeah, well, Portuguese daily Diario de Noticias writes that Portugal reached a new heat record yesterday. It's 46.6 degrees. It's enormous. That's in the region of Évora. That's in central Portugal. And this is the highest temperature ever recorded in June. And Spanish daily El País says that records are being broken in Spain as well. This time in the Andalusia region in El Granado, it reached 46 degrees, and that's almost 1 degree more than the previous record set in 1965.
Wow, we shall keep a watch on those temperatures during the week. Now, moving to the West Bank, violence has been escalating once again in the past few days. Last week, settlers set fire to Palestinian property. Over the weekend, the IDF said they detained Israeli settlers in the occupied territory after they attacked security forces.
Yes, Stuart, and Israeli left-wing paper Haaretz reported that settlers rioted and attempted to break into an army base after a 14-year-old Israeli was shot, possibly by the IDF. And the officer involved said that there was another riot in which his vehicle was targeted by stones. And that's when he says he shot in the air, thinking that he was attacked by Palestinians. And the Jerusalem Post here on its front page has an analysis that says violent Jewish settlers are a moral and strategic liability. It says that the last thing that Israel needs right now amid its war with Iran and in Gaza is IDF soldiers having to fight what it calls Jewish extremists. And then finally, again, Haaretz with this editorial named Quiet West Bank Pogrom in Progress. The paper says that the condemnation of the of all these attacks has been very weak, and it adds that it was only a matter of time before the settlers would start attacking Israeli soldiers who prevent them from carrying out their, quote, wicked schemes against Palestinians.
Now, next, let's change the tone to a bit of a bittersweet story that Elitsa's spotted for us in the Washington Post.
Yes, indeed. The Washington Post here reports about a community in the DC region that decorated dozens of homes for Christmas in the middle of summer. And they did this for a little girl with terminal cancer who might not get to live her last Christmas. And the paper writes that in times of global and local crisis, the residents said that they felt really grateful to be able to do something tangible, to bring a moment of happiness to the family in the face of a certain tragedy. And I'd like to say that they certainly did. This is 7-year-old Casey with a very, very big smile on her face. She was very touched. The whole neighborhood participated, and she even got to meet Santa. Look.
She looks very happy about it, isn't it? Good to see the smile on her face, at least. And finally, from Elitsa, artificial intelligence, of course, keeps progressing, is getting really almost impossible to differentiate an AI fake video from a real one, isn't it?
That's right, Stuart. So let me give you some context first. Mm. The New York Times came up with this online quiz. You can also take it on their website. And basically, they generated some fake AI videos and they also mixed them up with some real videos. And you have to guess which ones are fake and which ones are real. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do it with you.
Okay.
To taste your AI skills.
Do we have a buzzer?
Let's start with this first one.
Okay.
It's a broadcast.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. I'm Todd Owens.
I'm Melissa Moore. We begin tonight with a significant jolt to the global financial markets.
And so what do you think?
I think it's fake.
It is fake. Okay. Why would you say it's fake?
There was a strange mix at an odd point.
Right.
So I thought it was fake.
I mean, it could be a transition. We used those at 24.
Yeah. Two TV. Me.
And yeah, let's see the second one.
So while we sleep, our brains are actually incredibly active, sorting and consolidating memories and information.
I think it's real.
No, it's actually fake, but the prompt here was really detailed, saying that the fake person, needs to exaggerate his speech in the form of a TED talk. So it really helps if your prompt is really, really detailed. So that's what New York Times journalist did. And let's take a look at this one. What would you say?
Oh, that was short. Fake. The
seagulls. No, it's
pod.
Real.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doing well. I'm not
You're
doing
so
well.
Bad.
I started well.
So it's set in Turkey, and it's one of those places where the influencer paid to get the video shot. And it's, of course, it's a setup, but it's real. And we can see that it's real because, for example, the background here is quite blurred, which is usually not the case in AI videos.
Okay.
So let's continue with our test.
It's absolutely mad. We're actually doing it. Walking across the entire...
What that looked real.
No, it's fake. This one, for me, this one was the hardest one. And how do we know it's fake? Basically, the background here is too much in focus.
Okay.
But the trick here is that the New York Times journalist actually took a real vlogger from YouTube and they told the AI chat machine to create a video based on that guy. So then it gets even more difficult. Let's take a look at the last one.
We tried really hard on defense and we're able to get a few clutch stops.
I think it's real because most of them have been fake.
No, it's fake.
That means I got one right.
Like this one maybe is the easiest one. The New York Times says that here we can really tell it's fake because the letters don't make any sense. CTU... Beneficiaries, it doesn't make sense. And also there are some passing people in the background that go behind him and then disappear or they get a bit blurred.
Okay.
So
I could have spotted that if I'd looked for longer, honestly.
So the paper says that it's getting increasingly harder to differentiate AI-generated videos from real ones.
Oh, well, good quiz. 1 out of 5. Not very impressive, though. Alyssa, thanks a lot. Alyssa, get over there with the newspapers for us on France 24. A little bit